It's that time again.
Watch out.
Here it comes.
Watch out.
Here it comes.
Watch out.
Here it comes.
Podcast. I'm your host, Hank McCoy,
and with me, the People's Champ.
The champ is here.
Bean Rock. Vince. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
Splendid to be back on once again with Dribbles McCoy.
It'll never catch on.
It's t-shirt worthy.
Of course, the Courtside Podcast, proudly brought to you by Ordman Media. Head down to www.theordman.com and check out some of the other great, fantastic shows he's got down there. But we are back, guys. It's episode 177. Wow, time is flying. 177.
That's bloody crazy. It's over a year since we did
the 100th show, the live show.
Flew up to Sydney for the first time ever.
Sydney's still recovering.
Geez, did we have a hard time getting a cab after the show? We walked for miles. Because not like Benson offered to give us a lift.
Love you, Stewie. Well, Vince, I want to kick it off with the Eastern Conference. A team that's, man, they've really turned it around. And that's the Brooklyn Nets. 20-23. They've battled back, 7th in the East, 8-2 in their last 10. A tough last second loss today against the Raptors. But Brooklyn, we beat them. We beat them to a pulp. And now they're back in the playoff scene.
It means nothing.
Maybe Lawrence Frank was the problem.
Maybe he was, but it means nothing. You really think he's going to turn it on for the rest of the year and make the... You think they're going deep still, don't you?
Yeah, I really do.
No, well, that's just...
I've got to say, you know what it was for me? Obviously, I still believe in this team. I just thought they should get rid of Jason Kidd. They finally decided, after me screaming on this show, for them to put the ball into Joe Johnson's hand so he could carry the scoring load because, you know, Pierce and Garnett, they aren't those players anymore. But for me, the real turning point was that win over OKC. In OKC, Joe Johnson at the buzzer. I mean, it's just good to see. For anyone out there who's still watching Brooklyn games, and I can understand if you've turned off, but it feels like to me they've finally realized that for them to win games, they need to slow it all down.
And the interesting thing, and you sort of touched on it with KG and Pierce, is that, everything's like they're going through Joe Johnson, like you said. The rest of the guys, no one's really jumping out at me. Every time I check a box score or watch a game, no one's really jumping out. Blatchett actually has been pretty good, but Livingston's been okay at times, but I just think, how are they doing it? And I think a big reason is defense.
I don't know if anyone else out there agrees with me, but it's the return of AK-47. I mean, he's just doing all the little things for that team. And, I mean, you know, health is always going to play a factor with this Brooklyn squad. But, I mean, they've really turned their season around.
Maybe Brook Lopez should get injured more often.
Zing!
No, I love Brook, love Brook. But, look, they've certainly surprised me. I still don't even see them getting deep in the playoffs. You're probably getting a bit moist over them, but I'm not.
Well, we've got to talk about it, Vince, because we should be slapping ourselves if we didn't bring it up. And that's the emotional return to Boston. Their first game back in Beantown. Paul Pierce saying, you know, this was one of the toughest games he's ever had to play. Tougher than any championship. Tougher than any Game 7. He loved it here. He never wanted to leave.
I thought the video tributes were really good. I just thought they were in a wrong... I don't know, why are they playing them like at a timeout and stuff?
That's no, I like that, because I thought it was a good tactic on Boston's...
That's a red outback tactic.
For yeah, me. You know, after the first quarter, you play KG's one, and then, you know, that hopefully he gets a bit emotional and wigs him out of the game. Then at halftime, you play the truce, 18-minute video, and, you know, he's out for the rest of the game. I thought it was a good tactic. I mean, it didn't work because Brooklyn pulled out the win, and that Jarrell Wallace dunk over KG at the start, showing no respect whatsoever. But, I mean, hey, Brooklyn went in, got it done. Do you think the move is something Paul Pierce is going to regret, though? I mean, he's going to get his jersey retired, right? Like, that's no debate, but...
I don't think he will regret it because, look at it this way, if he stayed at the Celtics, he's got no chance of getting back to the championship round. They went to Boston, they went to Brooklyn for a chance. That was their best chance to win a chip. It's not looking like it's going to work out that way. But even if it's 1 year, you can always just say, look, I tried to get another championship. It didn't work out. We're a free agent. I'm going back to play 1 year at Boston as a farewell.
Oh, I was going to say that. I was going to say after this year, I think he might even go back for a farewell tour in Boston.
Yeah, I think he will. Even if he's just eighth, ninth man off the bench. You know, like, it's just a farewell tour. And, you know, he's not going to hurt Boston in any way. They're going to be poo again next season. So, no, I don't think he'll regret it at all. He shouldn't. I mean, he's... Yeah, he's at the twilight of his career, and why shouldn't he go? Shouldn't he try and go for another championship?
I mean, the competitive juices are still going. I mean,
it's what you play for. Yeah, absolutely, they are. He's a competitive guy, and he, you know, today he showed he can stick.
And he had a good look at the end. Cool. He had a semi decent look at that shot at the end.
Yeah, where do you rate Paul Pierce as being clutch? Do you reckon he's pretty clutch?
Over the course of his career, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, talking about Brooklyn. I think Joe Johnson's probably the most clutch player.
Yeah, he's been outstanding, hasn't he?
I want to say the past two seasons, I think he's been the most clutch, but you know what? KD's given him a good run for his money this year.
Has this been Joe Johnson's best year?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to check the numbers on that, but...
You know, I just got a feeling. I can't remember him really playing. He probably has, but I can't remember him really playing this well.
I think he's had some better years in Atlanta, but...
Hopefully KG hangs him up after the season, because it's not the KG I grew up watching.
All right, it's time we address this other team in the East. The Cleveland Cavaliers, Vince, 16-28, slipping to 11th in the East, 5-5 in their last 10. They got pumped by Phoenix the other day, which was, man, a real eye-opener watching that game.
Well, do tell, because I didn't watch that game.
Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, look, we had Cleveland. I'm sure most people had Cleveland ranked pretty high at the start of the year heading into this year. I was just thinking about the lineup today, you know, like they get rid of Bynum and they bring in Deng. Like, that squad should be even better, but there is just some selfish, selfish, selfish basketball going on in Cleveland right now. And I don't know if it's Mike Brown is the problem, or if I tend to think that Kyrie Irving just doesn't get it.
I've always thought that Kyrie's assist numbers were a bit low. I mean, granted, the last couple of years, it hasn't had much to pass to, but he's got a bit more talent this season. I thought his numbers on the assist level would be up, but... I get sick of people blaming Mike Brown. The guy's a good coach. I think he's a good coach anyway.
Look, whoever's running the offense down there needs a good kick in the butt, because it's disgusting. The firepower they have on that roster, they stink. They literally stink. Guys look clogged. They don't know where to go. They throw it out to Irving, and then Irving's forced to go into ISO. I mean, for me, this year was all about Irving expanding his game. You know, he spent how long has he been in the league now? 3 years? We hold him in pretty high regards. He's an elite point guard, yeah?
Absolutely. Oh, I think so, yeah.
You think he's a top 10 point guard?
I'm trying to think if I had him on my top 10 list. I think I did, yes.
Well, he needs to start playing like it, because he's an elite point guard in the league. He's proven that. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't need to get all fancy with the ball. He doesn't need to show anyone up. He needs to get guys involved. His numbers are down from behind the arc this year, which is definitely hurting them as well. But I just don't see... I just don't see a point guard on the floor.
Well, I would like to see him get guys going early, especially guys like Deng. Deng's 18, 19 a game. He's you know, he's proven he can perform in this league. He should have Kyrie's respect. Get him going. Get Derrigeau some looks. Get Thompson some looks. Get Waiters some looks. It's going to be time for Kyrie Irving time. It's Kyrie Irving time during the game. So you know what it's like. You get guys going throughout the game, and they'll work for you all game.
It feels like, I feel like they're tanking.
Look, give them another 10 games, say. See how they go. If they can go 7-0, not that much.
I'll tell you what, they need to figure something out quick, smart, because they are sliding. They were up in that Phoenix game the other day. They were up by about 15 points, and Phoenix just lit them up in the third from behind the arc. I mean...
Well, let's remember, too, I'm sure this collection of players, how much input did Mike Brown have on getting these guys?
This is his team.
How was it his team? He didn't put it together.
He had a huge say in this team.
Did he?
A huge say in this team.
Did they hire him before they got
him? He got hired early.
Now, look, I've got no problem with Mike Brown. I think he's a good coach. They've just got to make some moves. Make some, Deng's nice at the three, set at the point. Waiters is the problem. Maybe he's the cancer in the locker room we all don't know about. Maybe guys don't want to play with him. If that's the case, trade him for a decent pick come draft day.
I don't know. It just feels like, to me, watching this Cleveland team this year, it just feels like there's two different teams on the court, you know, and they're all wearing the same jersey. I mean, it really does feel like a case of the cool crowd of kids and everyone else.
Granted, I don't watch a lot of Cleveland games, and when I have, I've been pretty disgusted. But do you think they're all working for each other? Or are they?
I don't know.
Is there guys?
All right.
I know. There's times in a play where you've got to set picks, but are they hustling? And
I'll tell you one of the biggest differences I noticed in the Phoenix game. You know, and this is in Cleveland. There's a timeout, and sure, guys are gonna, you know, get their bottles and, you know, grab their towels and stuff like that, but for anyone who watched that game or for anyone who wants to go check it out, just jump into the third quarter there and check out the timeouts and just the difference between the Phoenix huddle and the Cleveland huddle. And I think that spoke volumes to me that game. I'm starting to feel like he's lost the players.
There's no way he's lost the players. He could not. Not this early. In his contract, surely. That tells you that Phoenix are a tight-knit group. They're all on the same page. Maybe Mike Brown has to... Did you notice who the players were that weren't sort of engaged in the timeout? If it's veterans like Thompson, Irving, Deng or Waiters or Verager, sit their asses. Get Alonzo G out there. Get Bennett playing, for Christ's sake. Get guys out there who want to play. I mean, send him a message. He's got to do something or it'll cost him his job, and I don't think it's all his fault.
One last question for you about Cleveland.
I can't believe we're talking about Cleveland.
I know, right? But it really disgusted me, the game. I was really... And then I realised how mad I was at this Cleveland team for how high we had them ranked and the expectations, you know? Maybe it's our problem. Hey, never know. Should they make a move? Like, should they make a trade before the deadline? Or is that sending a wrong message? Do these guys, you know, for better or worse, just need to stick it out for the rest of the year?
Look, I thought Waiters could be the guy. And I do like Deion Waiters. I thought he could have been the third guy to take a bit of pressure off Irving and Deng. Rid of Waiters and getting someone who can help Deng and Kyrie, I'd do that in a heartbeat. The untouchables there are Irving, Deng, obviously. I think Bennett is untouchable at the moment, as crazy as that sounds. But I think anyone else in that roster is available. So I think they'll make a move.
Well, let's move now to the Western Conference, Vince, and we're going to talk about my Memphis Grizzlies.
What you just talking about your team? This is crap.
22-20. They're slowly making a climb back into things. 9th in the West. 8-2 in their last 10. It's been a tough year being a Memphis fan.
Give them the championship now. Just go home.
Well, I just want to say that I'm just not convinced.
No, I'm not either, but you've got to admit, Courtney Knee's back to Courtney Knee. Oh, I've had a hankism. Courtney Lee has done a great job since coming in.
Yeah, I've got to apologise to him because I did not like the trade at all.
You ripped him a new one.
Yeah,
you
did.
Dumped the mud all in him and you walked it dry.
But the team's gotten, via trade, you know, over the course of this year and, the, you know, the end of last year, the team's gotten a lot older.
What are you talking about? He's like
28 years old. He's, you know, gone are the Jared Bayless's, the...
Yeah, but you've still got young talent on that bench.
We've got Ed Davis, that's it.
And that other white guy, I don't know what his name is.
John Lua?
No, there's another guy. He's like a small forward. Or...
No, there's no one else.
There is.
There's no one else that matters, Vince.
Haven't you got Kostas Koufos?
You're thinking of Mike Miller, all right? He's not young.
No.
Thumbs Miller, man. Look, I want to ask you, because obviously I'm in the thick of it with this Memphis team. Obviously the return of Gasol makes a massive improvement for the team defensively, and Zebo is starting to come into his own, starting to find some real rhythm. I'm not convinced it's going to last to the playoffs. I'm not so sure this team's going to be together come the playoffs. I could see a Zebo move, but...
Mate, I'm with you.
I've spoken about it before on the show. It's like, we were so close last year. You know, we got spanked by the Spurs, and then we blow the team up. It's like, what moves did we really... If we're not tanking, what moves did we make to get past the Spurs?
Do you know where you guys are?
Where?
Remember that year Mike Brown took over?
Yes.
We had a decent record, but you just knew we were on the Shizens. We were going to be poo the next year.
Yep.
That's where you guys are. That's just reminds me of that year. And I would not be surprised if Zelo gets traded.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
A little upset.
I can tell you, you've got to be
I'm upset because it's like the guy has really found his home in Memphis. You know, obviously it's not on the scale of, you know, a Paul Pierce in Boston or anything like that, but the guy really found a home. The fans love him in Memphis. He came out publicly and said that, you know, he's willing to take less money to stay in Memphis. And they just do these weird sideways trades, and I don't feel like the team's any better. They let Hollins go, which was the big cruncher for me, because I really felt like we lost our identity when they let Hollins go.
Yeah, I don't like this new guy. And I think it's because he replaced Hollins, so you're in shit town with me.
The 8-2 record of the last 10 games for me is very covering shit with sugar, because it's a very deceiving record. It's like we got better because we got Gasol back from injury. I don't know, man. I don't think we're a better team than what we were last year. That's all.
On one hand, I can see what they're trying to do, because your main guys are, what was it, nearly 32. You know, Gasol's 29. I can see the moves they're trying to make to match now with these guys, because they know they're going to be around for many a year. But on the other hand, I'm like, what the hell would you try to make? Because the guys are winning so many games. Why? You know,
I feel like other teams feared us, and now not so much.
You're probably right, because everyone knew when they were playing the Grizzlies, they were going to be...
It was grit and grind, right? You're going to have to grind out that win. You're going to have to beat them at their own game. And
yeah, if Zeebo and Gasol weren't beating you up, I'll tell you what, though, Mike Conley, I would take him in a heartbeat.
I can't believe he's gotten better again this season. Like, seriously, I mean, we talk about it, I think, every year. Like, oh, Mike Conley, you know, he's better than last year again. He works so hard. What's this guy's ceiling? I mean...
What is he, 25?
Yep.
Gee whiz, it's... You know, I hate making predictions on ceilings, but he's averaging 18 now, leading the team in scoring. Mate, I only think if the team gets worse next season, I think his scoring's only going to go up.
Well, I think I mentioned to you in private, you know, I think that he's a guy that could take a team to, you know, to the promised lands, but I just don't feel like it's going to be with the Grizzlies.
Hopefully it's in the yellow and purple.
Oh, God, help me. I'm done if that's the case. I'm done.
You can come over, mate. It's plenty at the Lakers. But well, all I can say to you, mate, is you get used to losing. So I'll be there to hold your hand through the losing lottery picks.
I might need a hug.
I'll give you more than a hug. And
let's jump to the OG team in LA. The LA Lakers, 16-29, 13th in the West. Wow. 2-8 in their last 10. Mate, the draft's looking good this time of year.
I tell you what, I watched Pitt and Duke today.
Your thoughts?
Come hell or high water, if we have to get Jabari Parker.
He's the goods, isn't he?
I like the boy. I like the boy a lot. You know what I like about him?
What's that?
He knows how to work inside. Knows how to use the body. It's the only knock I've got on him. Sometimes he looks like he goes through the motions a bit, but boy, he can play it. I'll be very excited.
Mm.
And then we trade Jabari to Timberwolves to get Kevin Love.
Don't start.
You know it's going to happen. Whoever we pick in this draft, God love them, they're going to be great until we trade them for a superstar.
Oh, boy. Don't start.
It's what we do.
16-29. You're 13th in the West right now. I mean, are you still thinking playoffs right now? Do you think there's a chance Lakers can slide into 8th seed?
You idiot.
Was
that a serious question?
I only say that, Vince, because it only leads to my next question, is that should Kobe return at all this season?
Did I say Kobe? You said Probe. Anyway.
Okay. Well, should Kobe return at all this season? Really?
Of course he should. Why shouldn't he? Because he's all in the
Maybe he takes the year off and just recruits.
Or maybe he's shutty. He's not taking it. Unless his leg falls off, he's playing. He has to play. He's got to keep those legs going. A body in motion stays in motion, I always say. He needs to run in the legs. He needs to test out that Achilles, the confidence in the Achilles. He'll be fine. He's playing. There's no sitting down for Kobe. Holy, he loves playing the game too much.
Who do you guys...
I'll tell you now, in his mind, he thinks he can get these guys back in the playoffs.
Really?
And we all know he can't, but that's Kobe. That's Kobe.
I thought it was interesting the other day, you know, obviously Melo had his big explosion on the court against the Bobcats. And, you know, all the banter of, you know, the rumours, should I say, of Melo coming to LA.
Oh, I hope not.
It feels like every superstar is rumoured to go to LA. Jesus. Gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, because they jack up their price.
I thought it was interesting, Vince, that Kobe met with Melo's manager after the game.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to stuff it all up, Kobe. We don't want Carmelo. Paying a 31-year-old, $96 million, no thanks.
Can fill it up. Fill it up in a minute.
So what? We're going to be paying a 36-year-old that isn't as good as Kobe, goddammit, millions of dollars and just eating up the cap. No thanks. Let New York pay him $136 million or whatever they're going to pay him.
Insane money. Insane money.
It is, isn't it?
Oh.
I noticed Lala came out and said, oh, I think he's going to play in New York. Of course he is. He'll do whatever you tell him to do. Oh, everyone blames me. I was with him in Denver.
Yeah, she said, if I can live in Denver, I can live anywhere. I just want him to be happy. Nice little sly dig at Denver there.
Yeah, thanks.
Good to see you still wearing the boots. I wonder if she's also sponsored by Jordan Brand.
Sure she is. I'll tell you what, though. He had more success in Denver than he did in New York.
That's true.
Western Conference Finals.
Ooh. Who they lose to?
Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles Lakers.
Look, so many injuries going on for the LA. It's the rest of the season is not looking so great if you're a Lakers fan. The Kendall Marshall hype is starting to fizzle out. Everyone's coming back to earth with Kendall Marshall now.
Marshall mania.
Yeah. But Nash set to return on Saturday.
And he tweaked his back.
No.
He tweaked his back. Can you believe that?
Already.
Isn't it? He hasn't even been like ramping up the practice and he tweaked his back. Are you kidding me? His back. I'm telling you. I saw it on, it was reported on Twitter. He tweaked his back. It was an LA reporter or something. But still a good chance to play, apparently. So when he does play, he'll just rip it some more and then be out for 6 months.
I love Nash, man. I love Nash. Nash is always, Phoenix to me, but I don't know. I don't want to say it, but I think it's just time to call it.
The sad thing is, even at 39, nearly 40, he's fit.
Mm.
He's still handy for us. He still knows how to get guys open. And he's not that slow. Like, preseason games I watched, I think I even tweeted you or messaged you or something and said, Nash can still get to the rim when he picks his spots, but he can still get to the rim and be creative.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't stop dribbling, which is key, and he's taught that to Steve Blake. But I don't know, man. If it doesn't work this time, he's probably just got to give it away, unfortunately.
Well, Vince, I think it's that time. Jersey worthy! Who's your jersey worthy of the week?
We should be in agreement on this one. That has to be...
Oh, it's not my pick, but continue.
See, this is why you're a fool. How could it not be Kevin Durant?
Because it's not.
I know who you picked, and I'll tell you what, you are...
You know who I picked.
No, I don't think I do. Did you mention it?
Not yet.
If you've picked this bloke because he's had one good game this year, I will swear to God I'll headbutt you.
But it's my boy, T. Ross.
Oh, you are...
51. Oh, my goodness. That game was awesome. You had the Toronto crowd rocking. And look, I know that this was...
54.
I know. 58, 50, 41, I get it. I hear you. I'm willing to take heat on this, Vince. I'm willing to take heat. But T. Ross, man, he was amazing that game. I mean, look...
Yeah.
And they lost. And they lost.
Game after.
And they lost. Yeah, backed up with 10. But
Brandon at least drops another 40.
But I really like T. Ross, so I had to give him my jersey worthy because 51 points, tied Vince Carter's record, and...
What, just sucking up to Audley?
I'm just a Ross fan, man. So.
No, you're sucking up to Audley.
I am not.
Marcus, he's a Toronto man. He lives in Toronto. He covers everything Raptors. You are...
Not buying your madness, but continue. Sorry, Kevin Durant.
Yeah, well, mate, I don't know. Unless you've been living on Mars for the last couple of weeks, the guy's been unstoppable. He's been the best player in the league, MVP by a mile.
Yeah, he's really closed that gap, really, hasn't he?
Westbrook's gone down. He's just said, "Jump on board, boys. I'll hold the fort till Westie gets back."
Game winner today in Atlanta against Atlanta today as well.
Another 41, was it?
Yep.
And you picked Terrence. Ross.
I had to, man. I had to.
Cause no, you didn't.
It's the only time I'll ever get to pick him. It's the only time, Vince.
Flog.
It's the only time.
Flog of a bloke, you are. Absolute flog. The only time. I didn't create this award for you to make a mockery of it.
Well, when you have winners, you have losers. The brain fart award. Who gets your brain fart, Vincent? Don't say me.
Close second. Oh, look, I've done a lot of research on this one, and I'm going to have to go with Big Mike D'Antoni.
Oh.
What did he say after the new game? Again, we can score. The problem isn't scoring. Defense.
It's the defense.
It's the defense. Well, mate, you've been coaching since you started at Denver over 10 years ago. You've been coaching a long time, and everywhere you've gone, teams have sucked on the defensive end. No shit, Sherlock.
It's no secret, Mike.
Do you forget the press conference when Jim Buss hired you? When a reporter said, what do you got to say to all those fans who say you don't
play defense?
Oh, guys, no, don't do that. No, you don't. You're a fool. You're a peanut. God help us all in LA. You know, I might throw my hat into the ring when the Lakers job comes up.
You good for it?
Well, I tell you what, they could save a crap load of money. Oh, look, I don't know a lot of plays, but I'm a master motivator.
Well, Vince, for my brain fart award...
Keep a harmonious locker room. I'd have like a...
Do you have scented candles?
Have a... what are those piano accordion guys in there before the game?
Yeah.
Before we head on to your brain fart, have you noticed in the Lakers locker room, you probably haven't, there's a picture of Phil's book, 12 Rings,
mm-hmm.
framed and everything, on the wall. Is that just there to shit Mike D'Antoni or what?
Maybe Phil should have got your jersey worthy.
Did Jimmy put that there? This is when I watched the Lakers, the special Lakers broadcast.
Is it a dig at Mike or just smart promotion?
Every time they interview a player in the locker room, this bloody picture of 12 rings by Phil Jackson's there. And all you can see is a picture of 12 championship rings. It's like Jimmy's been here again.
Oh, that's gold. That's perks. That's perks.
Isn't it? He's going to marry the owner, so well, I don't think Mike's saying anything. Sorry, go ahead before I really interrupt.
My pick for brain fart goes to Gary Payton.
Oh, why? What'd the glove do?
Mate, I was appalled at what he said about Anthony Bennett. I think I literally might be the only one, but you know what?
Hang on. We've said that on our own show. We said he was a bit podgy.
The verbal attack that he put on Bennett, I thought was very unfair. To say, you know, he didn't even have any facts to back anything up. He just comes out and says, oh, you looked fat when you came into league. Yeah, you freaking morons, because he was injured. He's coming back from surgery. You can't play yourself into fitness on 8 minutes a game.
Agreed.
Like,
but he said that. He said he was injured.
And even still, even if he did say that, it's like, who the hell is Gary Payton to say anything? He had a lot of frigging question marks. You said it not so long ago, Vince. He had a lot of frigging question marks himself. A lot of people writing.
No, I didn't say he had question marks. I said he was drafted number two, and his first year he had a bit of a down year. He wasn't as bad as Bennett. Everyone was on his ass.
Well, then he should more than anyone know that you got to give the kid a chance.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's way too early to write Bennett off, but I didn't think he was that harsh.
Why is Bennett even in his mouth? Like, why is he bringing it up?
Because he wants to see the kid succeed.
Bullshit.
He does.
He's got no investment in Bennett whatsoever. He's just...
You don't have to have an investment.
Trying to get another 5 minutes of fame. Him and his bloody big mouth. Piss me off to no end.
He's a former NBA player. It's a brotherhood, mate. He wants to see the young fella do well.
Bullshit.
He does.
Bullshit. I'm not buying that for a second. It's just some bullshit.
Why? Because it's Gary Payton.
Ego freaking Gary Payton.
Since he retired, where's he been? You haven't even seen him.
He's been on NBA TV till they gave him the boot.
Come on.
Mate, look, I was ticked off. I didn't...
Did Anthony Bennett not come in fat?
He came in overweight, yes. And that was...
Did he not have surgery?
Yes, he did.
2 points that he made, Gary Payton.
The points and the way he made the points were the wrong way to go around it, Vince.
Ooh, when you say my name, I know I'm in trouble.
I didn't realise I did that, actually.
That's because you've got a bee in your ass.
was ticked off about. I was fuming after it.
Well, what else did he say? I know he said he definitely had surgery. I know he said he was fat when he came in. But he mentioned the D-League as well, didn't he?
Did he say,
go to the D-League, get your confidence back, and then come back or something?
He didn't say anything about confidence, but, Peyton knows better than this, man. I expect more from Peyton. I was disappointed with his comments. That's the thing. Like, I felt like it was more of a personal attack on Bennett. It's like, what are you... You have no reason to have a personal attack on Anthony Bennett.
I think you're being a bit harsh.
No.
I think you are. Don't be surprised if GP sent him a text later on and said, look, young fella, I've got nothing against you. I just want to see you succeed. Of course he does.
Not buying it.
Why would he not want to see him succeed?
Not buying it at all.
Wow. You are... I tell you... It's hard on Hanks. You should name it Hanks Hard-Ons.
No.
Like I said last week, you...
In saying, that Mike Brown had some interesting comments about Bennett as well. He said he's our top pick. He's the number one pick in the draft. So he's going to get plenty of opportunity. I'm going to give him plenty of opportunity, but as you can see, I'm not going to give him a free pass.
Okay, so was he not working hard off the court?
Mate, look.
Wait. Is Bennett coming to, let's say, is he coming to work early, leaving late? Is he? See, we don't know.
We touched on the surgery. He didn't get all that pre-draft workouts.
All the more reason why now he should be coming into work early and leaving late.
Who's to say he's not? Who's to say he's not doing that, Vince? I mean, look at the roster.
Who's to say?
You look at that roster and like who he had to beat out: Zeller, Verger, Bynum. Thompson.
Okay, all guys you could beat out. But is he doing it?
Mate, I'll tell you what, 8 minutes a game is not gonna do it.
I totally agree with that.
Is
he doing the extra work? See, nobody knows. For all we know, he could be just, practices at 9, he rocks up at 5 to 9. We don't know.
I'm not buying that.
If practices at 9, he should be there at 8.
What rookie's doing that?
Running the treadmill.
What rookie's doing that? Come on now. You don't draft a guy number one.
Are you serious?
You don't draft a guy number one, Vince.
I'll tell you what, guys who have pride in their bloody game would be doing that. And I'm not having a go at Anthony Bennett. But you telling me there's not rookies in the league now who are coming to practice early and getting extra work in?
Of course they are.
Well, then you just said what rookies are doing that.
I said what rookies aren't doing that.
I thought you said what rookies are doing that. Well, there you go. Well, then Bennett, we don't know if he's doing it or not. He clearly can't be if Mike Brown just said, I'm not giving him a free pass. So that's telling us something. Read between the lines. He's not working hard.
Look, I think it's a bad move to draft a guy number one and to play him like that.
But I've got no problem with it. If Mike Brown is coming in and saying, well, you're fat, you haven't been working hard, you had an operation on your elbow, not your freaking legs, you could have been on a treadmill.
He didn't say he's not working hard.
Mate, when a coach says, I'm not giving him a free pass, read between the lines.
Mate, come on. That's Mike Brown covering his ass.
You're joking, mate. Seriously. Mate,
you have put Mike Brown on this pedestal.
No, I haven't.
And let me tell you, he shits things. It still rolls down that pedestal. Don't be standing under it.
I have not put him on a pedestal.
You bloody have, because he's wore the yellow and gold and...
That's rubbish. He didn't even win a championship. That's what we're all about down there. We're talking championships.
Talking championship, baby, championship.
When a coach says, any coach, I don't care if it's Mike Brown, I don't care if it's Phil Jackson, Pop, whoever, if he says, I'm not giving him a free pass, but read between the lines, not working hard enough, not doing the extra stuff, not coming in early for practice, not staying late, nothing.
You read all that?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Keep telling me that's what she said.
Your Jedi mind tricks are working beautifully.
Oh, come on, mate.
Jesus.
If you don't see that, there is something wrong with your... Okay, I'll tell you what, though. People out there agree with me, I'm telling you.
Hmm?
If the coach says, I'm not giving you a free pass, you're not working hard enough. It's that simple.
And, of course, you can catch all the courtside banter at the website www.crtste.com, where you'll find links to our show on iTunes and Podomatic. Search the Courtside Podcast, subscribe, leave a review, guys. We want to hear back from you. That's what the show is all about. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at CRTSDE. Vince, where are you at on Twitter?
At VINROK44.
We're also available on Facebook, all caps Courtside. Vince, it's been emotional.
It's been fiery.
Here it comes.
Stuck on the fiery trip.
Here it comes.